I know it's 11 o'clock. We'll just now got people coming on. Kind of give you a second there. If you hadn't heard, we're going to start off with Glory to His Name. Glory to His Name, page number 2 in your soul-stirring songs and hymns. Page number 2. Hope you've all had a good week. The weather's beautiful. And looking forward to an upcoming week. We've had 4 inches of rain over this last week, which has been a blessing on the garden. God's truly blessed. It's been bountiful this year, just in how he's provided. I was talking to Brother Johnny Brandon the other day, and he was saying he had to water. I really have had very little watering. I've had a couple of spots I've had to water, but for the most part, I haven't needed to water anything. And I'm thankful for that. And God's just blessed and provided through it. So it's good to see everyone on this morning. Got 10 on. We'll go ahead and get started here. We got 1 minute after 11. I don't know that we're ever that prompt, but praise the Lord, we'll all be able to sing out. Page number 2, Glory to His Name. Now sing it with me now. No different. I sure sound a whole lot better when you sing out louder, so here we go. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where from cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. On the third, O precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for this day. I thank You, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to come to Your house, Lord, to hear Your word preached, to sing the songs, Lord. Father, I know that we're all in our own individual houses once again. But, Lord, I'm thankful for the safety that You give us, Lord. I do pray that You would watch over, protect everyone in the church. Lord, I do pray that You would meet with us this morning, Lord. I know that it's a little different. Lord, it's going to be different for me preaching. Father, I'm not used to sitting. I'm not used to even standing still. And yet, Lord, I find that You've taught us much through this process. And Lord, I pray that You would just continue to bless, continue to use us, Lord, and we'll continue to give You the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Take your hymn books, if you would, turn over to page number 19. There is a fountain. Page number 19. There is a fountain. Amen. I know this song's kind of long, but I like it, so we're going to sing it. And page number 19, there is a fountain. We're going to sing all five verses now. You know that I'm not one to add to or take away from, so I encourage you to get your hymn book, page number 19, there is a fountain. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. On the third, dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more, be saved to sin no more, be saved to sin no more, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Ere since by faith I saw the stream thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die. On the last, then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, lies silent in the grave, lies silent in the grave. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave. Amen. Amen. I'm thankful there's a fountain that still flows today.
Amen.
I do want to thank everyone for tuning in. We've got several that are on with us, and I appreciate that. I'm thankful for just being able to be a part of and see everything coming through. Being a church that we can stick together no matter what's going on and no matter the uncertainties and everything that's taking place. I do have a few announcements. Once again, I want to thank everyone for being faithful, not just in attendance, but in support. You've supported me and my family through all of this. You've supported the church financially and in your faithful attendance. And so I do appreciate that. I do ask you to pray for our country. We are in a time not just of the chaos of the COVID, but we're in a time of concern. It's really coming to a point where human lives seem to not be a concern. And that breaks my heart because every one of us to the Lord. And we should matter to one another, and not just the lives of the church members and the brethren, but it should bother us about the lives of the souls that are at stake. Lord, the Lord knows that there's many that are struggling today just in anger and fear, and that's not God's desire either. And so pray for our nation, that we don't become a nation divided, but instead we'll stand united. And let us as a church be an example to others, that we would love one another. And so I also want to remind you that next Sunday is Father's Day. I know that it seems that it's kind of snuck upon us. It's been a year of chaos. Jacob had showed me a little meme last week, and it was like a picture of 2000, the year 2020 being a video game, and it would have been a video game like Whack-A-Mole, but in this video game, it would fight back, and it sucker punched him in the stomach, and so that's really 2020, when you think that things, can't get any worse, well, something else happens and something else takes place. I still believe that it's God's desire to wake us up and to show us, and not as a nation, but as a group of believers. It's to the church. God's always worked through the church, and so I encourage you that it's time that we wake up and stand for Him. We have a testimony that others could really, really grow from. Amen. I do want you to keep Sister Evelyn in prayer. I got a text this morning from Brother Jack, and he had said that she's in the hospital. She's been there. This is her third time to the hospital. She urinary tract, second time that she's been to the hospital. And urinary tract infection, pneumonia. Now she's got some blood clots on her lungs. So do keep her in prayer that God would touch her. And listen, if it's God's desire to take her home, I'm fine with that. I know she's saved, and I know where she's going to spend eternity. But as well, just that she wouldn't suffer. Just pray for her comfort and her strength through this. Pray for Brother Jack as well. He's a good man. I love Brother Jack, and love Sister Evelyn. So do keep that family in prayer and pray for her healing. I would love for God to touch her. I often look over at the church where she sit, and so faithful in attendance, and she loved that church and loved the people of it. And so I do keep her in prayer, and I will keep you posted as I find things out, and let you know how things are going there. Amen. Take your hymn books, if you would, 227. We're going to look at Saved by the Blood, 227. 227. Amen. Page number 227. We'll all get there. Saved by the Blood. I love this song. I know that normally as leading we sing the top part, saved, but I encourage you, we'll all sing out, "Glory, I'm saved." If you're here today and you're saved, we have a reason to shout that we're saved. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know who holds it. And I trust in Him. So I encourage you, let's 227, let's sing out now. Saved by the blood of the crucified one, now ransomed from sin and a new work begun. Sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. The angels rejoicing because it is done. A child of the Father, joint heir with
too late, and Lord, that we would build on our most holy faith today, Lord, and
Father, that it be to your glory and honor. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. We definitely live in a day of uncertainty. I was already mentioning how 2020 has held many surprises. Don't understand everything that's going on. Don't understand everything that's going to take place. Don't know what's right. Don't know what's wrong. We live in a crazy time. I've often thought my great-grandfather had lived to be 98 years old, and I was 12 when he passed away, or right around there. And I remember going, and I would pedal my bike from my grandma and grandpa's place, and I would go down to his place, which was about maybe three-quarters of a mile, maybe half a mile down the road, thereabouts. And I would ride down to see him, and just how much he knew and how much he had went through was just amazing at all that he had witnessed in his life. And being able to see a time, he lived in a day where everyone would have had horse and buggy, to where the automobile was born. He got to witness a microwave, and I know most of us, maybe not, there's some watching today that definitely young enough that you don't remember the first microwave, but you know, I remember when microwaves weren't in every home, and you wanted a baked potato, you had to put it in the oven. It was truly a baked potato. Now it's a nuked potato, and you can have it in a couple minutes. But, you know, all that he had experienced is nothing compared to the time that we're living in right now. Yesterday, Jacob was talking to me, and he had said that he believed that this would all calm down within a matter of a few months, and you know, things would come back. And I'm not sure that it's not the fact that we're hearing of wars and rumors of wars, and this isn't just that much closer to the end time, and that much closer to the fact that we really are coming to the end, and it's going to be worse and worse, evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse. That's where we are today, and that's all Bible, and that's the truth of what's taking place. But I'm thankful in all of these times and all of this uncertainty and everything that's going on. I don't know how long the Lord's going to tarry. I don't know how bad it's going to be. I don't know when the persecutions are going to start, if they're going to start on the church, and I don't know. But I do know that through all of this, there's one person that never changes. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse number 8, that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm thankful that I know that He's not changing. I'm thankful that His Word's not changing. And so as we look at Jude, at the book of Jude, this short little chapter holds so much. But I was reading it this week just in my daily reading. And as I came through the book of Jude, I think of verse number 3 here. He says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." May I tell you that there's many today that are putting their trust and putting a hope in something that's going to fail them. I'm talking about those that are even meeting in churches today, and they're going to preach a gospel that's not really a gospel, that's not really a faith, that's got truth in it and truth with it, and it's not growing anyone. And so this focus that I have for verse number 20, in the fact that we're to build up yourselves on your most holy faith, is what I'd like us to look at today, because there is a point where you are going to have to make that decision, and you are going to have to do the building, and you are going to have to decide if you're going to get stronger or weaker, if you're going to grow closer or you're going to grow further away. I do want to remind you that there's no such thing as just staying where you are. You're either going to get closer to the Lord or you're going to get further away. You're either going to get stronger in the faith or you're going to get weaker in the faith. You're not going to wake up tomorrow and be in the same place that you are today. You're either going to have your faith shrink and decrease, or you're going to grow it. And God here is encouraging us. He's commanding us, building up yourselves. Now, we all understand about building up. Jeremiah is already counting down the days, counting down the months at least. He keeps asking, Sis Sarah when he's going to turn 5. And if you remember when he turned 4, he was ready to be 10. And there's not a lot on the calendar this month, and I was looking over it to make sure that there was nothing this week. No one was having a birthday that we needed to sing happy birthday to or an anniversary. And I had mentioned Tara's birthday was on the 1st of this month, and Jeremiah was already upset because he's ready for his birthday. And he wants to get older, and he wants to grow, and that's just kind of a normal process and a normal part. And I can't help but be reminded of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having a promise of life that now is, and of that which is to come." And so it's not only important on how we build, but even where we build. It's not just in the fact that we don't want to throw it together, and God's telling us here that we are to build up yourselves on your most holy faith, but if it's not your faith that you're building and it's not placing it in the right place, then it's going to be pointless in the end. And the whole purpose is because we do live in these times where we earnestly need to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the same place. And so it's a sad point and a sad fact that so often we have this thought that everyone knows what we know. But may I tell you that what we can build on, and we can be encouraged through it, and we can encourage ourselves, but we will encourage others as well, and we will earnestly contend for the faith. Notice, if you would, I find the building matters. The building matters. He says, build up yourself in on your most holy faith. The building matters. By the way, this isn't a suggestion. So many times as we look at the Word of God and we think about picking and choosing, we all like to choose. And it's almost as if we think that the Bible is a buffet of choices. But yet, God has commanded here. This isn't just a suggestion. This isn't just a good idea. And this isn't something that's just going to be a good practice. If you would do this, it'll help you. No, God is saying here, he says, but ye, beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith. He said, look, this is the first step. This is where it's going to start. If you're going to earnestly contend for the faith, if you're going to ever grow, if you're ever going to come to that place, you're going to have to build. It's not something that your preacher can do for you. It's not something that your parent can do for you. It's not something that your spouse can do for you. It's the fact that you are going to have to build on your most holy faith. And so we look here and we find that the building matters. It matters if you do it or not. You know, it's significant. I want you to take your Bibles and turn over to the book of Hebrews in chapter number 11. Let's get a definition of what faith is, because it really does no good if you're going to build and it's not going to be on your most holy faith. And so we need to look at what faith is from the very beginning. But it's important that you build. The building part matters. You know, we all want the paycheck at the end of the week, but if you didn't show up for work all week, why would you expect a paycheck? It should be the very same thing. Why in the world would you think that you're going to have strength in the end, or have a blessing in the end, and have comfort from the Lord in the end if you're not building it up right now? And if you allow it to sit and it's a shack, and you wonder why the wind's blowing through, and you wonder why the storm's raging and tearing it down. And so we must look here in the fact that the building matters. Notice, if you would, Hebrews chapter number 11. I want you to look at verse number 1. It gives us, this is the definition of faith. You ever say, preacher, you know, what does Webster say about it? Or I use the Noah Webster, which is an 1828 dictionary. It's a humongous dictionary from a very godly man. He uses scripture to give definitions, but it doesn't matter what he says. It matters what the Word of God says. And God has actually defined faith for us. In verse number 1 of Hebrews chapter number 11, he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, if we were to consider this idea of substance of things hoped for, this is the confidence that we have.
It's not just a blind faith. So often people want to have a blind faith. And to be honest, there's many today. The atheists, those that believe in evolution, they will say that there's not a God. They'll say that God didn't create. May I tell you, it takes more faith. And they have a faith. They have a confidence in something that they haven't seen. Because they have not seen no God. They have not seen evolution. Now, I don't care if you say, well, preacher, look at all these different species of birds and how did they all come? They all come from a designer. God, and I don't believe in this idea of a design, and it's taken millions and millions of years, and there was a God that touched it, and then after that, everything came in place. No, hold on a second. God cared enough, and he's actually formed and he's actually breathed life into Adam. I'm thankful I didn't come from a monkey. You may say, preacher, sometimes you act a little crazy. Sometimes you act a little silly. I'm thankful that the monkey's no kin to me. And I know that they've done tests and they said that the DNA is similar. Yeah, because we have the same designer. God has started. And what he had started was good, and he just kept going, and he kept going, and he kept going. But I didn't come out of the muck. I didn't come out of a mixture. I didn't come out of a chance. I came out of a God that said that I'm going to show you who I am, and it's going to be through the creation. Now, I wasn't trying to chase that rabbit, but I guess God felt that it needed chased. And he says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. I have that confidence. That hope isn't a blind hope. That hope isn't like saying that you're hoping you're going to have something for supper. No, this is a confidence. This is a fact. When God said it, we take it as fact. And I have that confidence in that I can hope in him and that I can believe in him. And evidence of things not seen. I have proof. It goes right back to what I was saying about creation. Listen to me. You can take one single cell, and it is so complex. And to say that it came from nothing is just insane. And yet God created everything to work in an exact way because he is the creator. There's an evidence of things not seen. God didn't ask us to just believe it blindly. He didn't ask us to just take it and not truly prove himself. No, he proved. He proved his love. He proved everything about him. The word of God is still factual today. It is still proven today. You can not allow it to be a part of your knowledge, but it does not take the fact that it is true. You don't have to believe in a hell, but it doesn't change the fact that it is. You don't have to believe that there's a heaven, but it doesn't change the fact that there is a heaven. And there's a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned. And you can believe it or not, but it is true. And so we find here that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now look over at verse number 6 of Hebrews 11. In Hebrews 11 and verse number 6, the Bible teaches us, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Why do you think God would say build on yourselves? Or build up your most holy faith? Why is it that we need to build this faith? Why is it that God would say that there's something I need you to do? We live in a time where it would do us some good to build up some faith. We live in a time where you don't know what tomorrow holds. We could get up in the morning and we could find another 9/11 attack. We could get up in the morning and find another pandemic. We could get up tonight, we could watch the evening news tonight and find that there's murder hornets on the way. I don't know. But it goes from one thing to another thing to another thing. But I'm thankful that if we had built on our faith, those aren't going to disturb us. Those aren't going to disturb us. And he says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so I look at this, and I think about the fact that the building matters. Notice, if you would, why does it matter so much? It's a personal building. If we'd look back over the book of Jude in chapter 1, look at verse 20. Jude in verse number 20 says, but ye. Now that ye is plural. Now that but is a conjunction. And it takes us back up to the first part. Or it takes us back up to the verse right before it. Now, you can't really go to the verse right before it because it really ties into verse number 17. And you find a but beloved. He's speaking to the same group of people. He's speaking to believers. But I want you to see in verse number 17, he says, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time. Is it me, or does it seem like the mockers are more? I know there's always been mockers. In the Apostle Paul's days, there was mockers. In Jesus' day, there was mockers. Throughout history, there's been mockers. But has it ever been a time that it's so prevalent and it's the norm to mock the Christian? And even those that want to say that they're a Christian will mock in not living a Christian life. And so he says here that in the should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. And so I look here and I find that it is a personal building. He says, beloved. But then again he goes on, he says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. This goes back to the fact that the building matters because you already have that faith. It goes back to the place where you've been saved, and you're building upon that, and you're growing upon that. Verse number 24 tells us how we can build or why we can build. He says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I'm thankful that it's because there was a time in my life where I trusted Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins. Sister Sarah was going over to Jeremiah's Sunday School with him this morning, and she was talking to him about the life of Joseph and how Joseph had forgiven those that were his brothers that had sinned against him so bad. Oh, I'm thankful for a Savior that has forgiven me for my sin where I have fallen short. And you say, preacher, you must have been far worse than I. Oh, no, my friend. Every single one of us is a sinner. Every single one of us have fallen short. And boy, we've came to that place where we've trusted Him, not in something that I've done to forgive it. It's not the fact that I can offer anything up to Him and say, Lord, forgive me because I offer this up to you. No, the only thing I can do is plead on the fact that Jesus came and He died, and He died for me, the sinner. And He's said that any who will come to Him, whosoever shall come to Him, shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But he said in John 6 and verse number 37, all that come to me I will in no wise cast out. Boy, I'm thankful it doesn't matter how bad, it doesn't matter how the offense is. It's the fact that we're all guilty and we can all come. In 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 12, the Apostle Paul pens down, he says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And so I'd ask you today, are you saved? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt, if you died right now, that you're going to heaven? And so I find not only is it a personal building, I find it's a permanent building. It has the right foundation. Oh, I'm thankful that my foundation is none other than Jesus Christ. Boy, I'm thankful in 1 Corinthians in chapter number 3 and verse number 11, he says, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He says here in Jude verse number 20, beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith. The only place that holy faith can begin is in Jesus Christ. I think about Jesus in Matthew chapter number 7. He was giving them the sermon there on the mount, and he was telling them about the foolish man and the wise man. He said it was the foolish man that had built his house upon the sand, but it was the wise man that had built it upon the rock. Boy, I'm thankful I can come to the rock and I can set down. I'm on solid ground. Oh, it's a permanent building. I am standing there. I am standing on the faith in Jesus Christ. It's not in man. It's not in tradition. It's not in hope of a church. It's not in hope of something I've done. It's the fact that Jesus still saves today. And I find as well that it's a prominent building. Oh, this building of our faith. He says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. It should be a prominent building. That prominent building is the fact that it should be the most noticed building in your life. Oh, I'd ask you today, how many people know that you're saved? How many people would laugh if you told them that you go to church? How many of them would laugh if you told them that you know Jesus is your personal Savior? The Bible tells us in James chapter number 1 and verse number 8 that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Oh, I look and I find that it should be a prominent building. What's happening today is too many people don't have Jesus as a prominent building in their life. They don't have the faith that they have in Him. He says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Is it really prominent in your life? Would others really know? Is it really the most important building that you have? Your faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How many times have we just sat down and said, Lord, I need you to show me something today. Lord, I don't know what's going on. I don't know how to make it better. But I believe in you. When the storms of life come, do others know that you're still on that solid rock because it's a prominent building that others can see? Isn't it sad today that we're more worried about statues and protecting them? I was at the gas station the other day. There were two people discussing that they're trying to buy these stupid flags to fly on their car. And yes, I said it. Usually we spell it S-T-U-P-I-D. We get after Jacob for saying that word. But they wanted these flags so that they could strut what they believe. And yet, it's really an ignorance that they want them. They want it out of rebellion. They want it out of being able to provoke. And I'm not talking about putting a fish on your car. I'm not talking about putting a cross on your vehicle. Wearing a shirt that has scripture, giving Jesus a thumbs up, a like on Facebook. I'm talking about having a prominent walk, having prominent faith, that others know who you are and where you stand because of your life. Not because of the fact that you go to church, but that you live it after you get out of church. And so I look and I find this building of our faith. It's not just a personal building and a permanent building and a prominent building, but I find that it's a protective building. I find that it's a protective building. I look here and I find in the fact that it's a protective building is it protects from fear. It protects from fear. You see, in 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 7, the Bible says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. You see, what's happening today is there's a spirit of fear. There's this idea, because faith is so small, I don't know what's going to happen with COVID-19. I believe it's going to turn into COVID-20. And then after that, it's going to be COVID-21 and so on and so forth. I don't know what's happening with the protests. I don't know what's happening with defunding the police. It breaks my heart at the turmoil and the division of our nation. But may I tell you that I don't have a spirit of fear. I'm not worried about what tomorrow holds because I know who holds tomorrow. And in this, we shouldn't have that spirit of fear. And if we would build up yourselves on your most holy faith, may I tell you, He's not going to give us a spirit of fear. He's going to give us a spirit of power, and He's going to give us a spirit of love, and He's going to give us a spirit of a sound mind. Why? Because we're building up yourselves on your most holy faith. And it protects from fear, but it also protects from the enemy. You see, old Satan's desire is to put us out of the race. I'm not talking about with just sin. He can do that many, many ways. He can get it to the point where you see what's even the point. Listen to me. We're just a small little church. I really believe that there's probably some that are members of our church that we didn't have live service today. Well, we do. We've got it live. We're on Facebook today. I'm sorry, we're on YouTube today. I don't know why I always say Facebook, but we're on YouTube today. And maybe it's because I'm always preaching against Facebook. I don't know. But there's some that they might not even be with us today because, well, you're just having it online. I'll go to another church where they have it and I can go in person. But listen to me. Satan will put you out of the race without faith. The Bible teaches us in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6 and verse number 16, he says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Old Satan's going to do everything he can, and it doesn't matter. He might even give you the idea that it's not even worth the battle. But may I tell you, the fight's not over till God calls us home. And so I find that it's a protective building. And the building matters tonight. It would do us well today to just go ahead and come to the place that realize that the building matters. But then I find the building materials. There's some materials that we need to use. Now I'm going to assume every one of us have heard. I'm not going to give you the story of the three little pigs, but I believe that every one of us have heard the nursery rhyme of the three little pigs. We know that the first little pig he built with straw, and that straw wouldn't hold it up from the big bad wolf, and he didn't have a house that was going to stand. And I don't know why, but when I find that God says building up yourselves on your most holy faith, I believe that there's some people today that are trying to build with straw. And then we know that the second little pig, he went and the first little pig had ran over to his house because his house had blown down, and the first pig went to the second pig, and his house is more sturdy. He built it out of sticks. And so this second little pig, he said, boy, you know, when that big bad wolf comes, I've got a house that's built out of sticks, and it's going to be sure, and it's going to stand, and he's not going to be able to blow it down because it's out of sticks. And we know that when the big bad wolf came, he huffed and he puffed and he blew down that second little pig's house because it was out of the wrong material. And the first and the second little pig ran over to the third little pig's house that was built out of bricks. And I know this may seem pretty petty, but we can put it in a spiritual application. I wonder what kind of building materials we're using. May I tell you, it's important that we have the right building materials. We need them for the now. We need them for the now. I look at verse number 24 of our text in Jude, verse number 24, he says, now. That word's important. It's not just for eternity. It's for the now. May I tell you, if I'm just hoping in eternity, it does me no good for the now. I'm thankful that I can build up my most holy faith now. I can build up yourself on your most holy faith right now and get help. Because it's the fact that now I have the right building materials. Now my faith is being effective. Now it's going to help hold up for today. I have the right foundation. I've built on that rock, but then I'm going to build the right materials. I'm not going to trust in man. I'm not going to trust in my church. And I know you're going to say, preacher, you're talking about that we don't need to trust in your church. Listen to me, your preacher's going to fail you. The people in the church are going to fail you. The church itself is going to fail you. We aren't even in the building today. It's going to fail you. If you're putting hope in a building, I'm telling you, it's only a matter of time. We've prayed for shingles, which we have, and God supplied miraculously for them. He's provided above and beyond. We've got a great facility, and everything's great, but I'm telling you, it takes one storm to knock it out. I wonder what we put our building materials in. Bible teaches us very middle of the Bible. The very middle verse of the Bible is Psalm 118 and verse number 8. And it says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Are you believing in the government? You believing in law enforcement? You believing, you name it. There's not a politician out there that cares for you. They care for your votes. You represent a vote. But I'm thankful there's a God in heaven that's concerned with you where you are right now. And his desire is for you to build yourself on your most holy faith, that you would grow closer to him, that you would grow stronger in him, and it would be for the now. You know, when that big bad wolf comes, and I know we don't have a big bad wolf. We've got a big bad lion, and I don't care if he doesn't have teeth. He's still out there roaring. And your old house of straw, your old house of sticks, and even your house of bricks, if it's not built on the Lord, is going to fall in the now, in the storms of life that we have right now. But then I look as well, and I think about this building material. It's not just for the now, but it's also for the later. We would consider this to be for the judgment. this would be that time for the judgment. And take your Bibles now. Hold your place in the book of Jude. But I want you to take your Bibles. Turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want you to look at verse number 12. You see, there's a reason that we think about these building materials and how important they are. May I tell you that there's a judgment coming. If we were to look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, we would see that we're all going to stand. I'm talking about believers. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It's called the Bema Seat. We're going to stand there, and this would be that place where He's going to examine what we've done since we've been saved. And we're going to have our works. We're going to have everything that we've built on, our most holy faith, is going to be examined. And I wonder how many times it's been with straw. I wonder how many times it's been with sticks. I wonder how many times it's been with bricks. Notice, if you would, I gave you 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 11 earlier. He says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And then he goes on and he talks about what we're doing and how we're building on that most holy faith. He goes on and he says in verse 12, "Now if any man build upon this foundation," what foundation? "The foundation of Jesus Christ, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble." Huh. I don't know what you're trusting in today and what you're building with today, but it's going to be tried. Notice this. "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Oh, listen. I wonder what we're building with for eternity. How much ashes are we going to have? Wood, hay, and stubble. And I know you're going to say, "Preacher, I built with bricks." God wants us to build with gold, silver, and precious stones. Gold pictures deity. Silver pictures purity. Those precious stones are values. Oh, I wonder what gems we're building with today, that when it tries through the fire, it's only going to come out pure. And so I find that the building matters, the building materials, but then I find as well the benefit for me. Why would God tell us in verse number 20, building up yourselves? Building up. Did you notice that? Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. There's a benefit. First of all, I find it's for the strength. The strength. I think about Isaiah chapter number 40 and verse number 30. The Bible says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." You know, God wants to build us up, not tear us down. God wants to lift us up and encourage us and give us that strength that we need. And when is that? It's for the now. He says, but they that wait upon the Lord, that's not just sitting back and waiting and getting weak and weary. No, that's those that are out there and they're plowing the field and they're continuing to do. And he says that if we'll continue and we'll keep building up that faith, it's building up. It's not tearing down. It's building up. And you say, "Preacher, I'm weary and well doing." He says, "Keep going, because you're gonna reap if you faint not." You're going to keep going and you're going to keep building, and God's going to keep strengthening. He says, "Build up yourselves in your most holy faith, because that's where you're going to be able to stand." It's going to build you up, and it's going to strengthen you. These storms that are going to come in life, and listen, 6 months ago, we would have never known that we were going to be here. We had a revival, great revival, at the very first of the year, and we heard about the COVID and other places, didn't really know a whole lot on it. Your preacher's guilty. I don't watch a whole lot of news. I don't get wrapped up in it. For most of it's media-driven. It's sad to me that people don't know what to do with their children unless the media tells them. I'm not media-driven by any means. But yet, 6 months ago, we would never guess that we would be doing YouTube videos so that we could have service. I don't know what the next 6 months holds. I don't know what the next year holds. But I know where my strength comes from. I know that I can keep walking and not faint because I'm going to build up on my most holy faith. And so I look as well the stretch. Within my home, there's many that's going to be reached in the influence of the building. He says, build up yourselves on your most holy faith. May I tell you, so often we think that it's only about us, but there's others that are influenced in our most holy faith. And I look at the stretch, the impact, if you would, that it reaches. There's others that are going to be under our building. There's others that are going to fill this. I look at our family. I look at our friends. I look at everything that's going on. And someone is going to look to you and wonder where you're going to stand and how you're going to stand in this time of adversity, in these times of trials, in these times of uncertainty. Where do you turn? Is he your last resort or is he your first stand? And so I look at all those that are going to be influenced. I look at all those that are going to be touched. And I wonder who we're going to influence. Maybe it's not just the ones that are close to us. Maybe it's some passersby. For years, I had purchased a shop. It's set over on a pallet over here near where it's built now. But I'm telling you, for years it was sitting there. Didn't have the finances. God didn't have it where I could build it up yet. And so it wasn't built. And I just had it there. Others were driving by it the whole time. You know, I really didn't have anyone stop and ask. I want you to think about the influence, but I want you to think about the inquiry. You know, no one ever stopped to ask me about it when it was sitting on the pallet. Maybe as I began to lay it out and began to dig the footing and we poured the slab, maybe some people stopped by. But may I tell you, someone's watching you all the time. We used to be known as the house that had, people had talked to us about our garden that's out here by the road, or even the one that's down from the house a little bit. People would stop and ask us about that, or maybe they'd see my 56 that's sitting out here and they'd want to stop and ask, or they'd see tractor or the implements and they'd want to try to buy them, or they'd see Jacob's Volkswagen and they'd want to try to buy it. But you know what's amazing? When we started to build that building, it was about the same time that Jacob was looking to sell his Ranger. And we had parked it up here by the fence and we put a for sale sign. Can I tell you how many people stopped? And they used that Ranger as an excuse to ask us about the building. People after people after people would stop. I had one man stop and he talked to me for hours, wanting to know about the building and everything about it. And you know, isn't it amazing that our faith is the same way? Jesus said, build up yourself on your most holy faith, because there's going to be some people that are going to inquire about that. In this time of uncertainty, in this time of turmoil, in this time of chaos, in this time of pain, there's going to be some people that are going to pass by and see that you're putting up a building. And they're going to want to ask you about that building. And really what they're wanting to ask you, you're going to need to tell them about the foundation that allowed you to put up a building. Oh, my dear friend, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I'm thankful that we can build today and the building will still be standing tomorrow, no matter what tomorrow holds. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you. I thank you for the promises that you give us in your word. And Lord, I'm thankful that the reason that we're building up ourselves on our most holy faith, Lord, is we are created for your glory and your honor. But then, Lord, I realize as well that there's some that are going to need to see that building, that they can inquire so that they too can have a building that's built on the right foundation, that's going to stand the test of time, that's going to have a benefit, that's going to stretch and reach all those around, our family, our friends, and Lord, even the passerbys. Lord, I pray, help us today that we would grow closer to you. I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name.